Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game, and it's time for a match day special again.
Stand or fall.
Stand or fall, and here we are in the Beer Merchants, the magnificent Beer Merchants in Hackney Wick, one of a number of places we love to come into and frequent and drink dry, and we're doing that again tonight. I'm on a few cheeky lambics today, and they are going down a treat, I have to say. And with me, we'll probably have a word with them later. We have a regular David of the FO, David Townsend, and his mate John, who's a West Ham fan. We've got the Phillips guys in.
He's a Hackney Wick, he is.
He's a Hackney Wick,
that's
yeah.
Got me rhyming slang,
Hackney Wick. No, he's a lovely guy.
He's a lovely guy.
But we also have the aforeheard dulcet tones of Mr. Wedginald, Wedginald Perrin, Wedgie, Wedge, Andy Gresty. Good evening.
Good evening.
And we've got Andy Knott as well. Good evening,
Professor,
Andy.
Professor Andy Knott.
Good evening, all.
Professor.
He is not the professor. He's a very naughty doctor. So, Andy, let's go to you first. Thoughts after the last, that one, Andy Knott. Thoughts after the Spurs game. We were just saying off air, James Milner by far and away his best game. Discuss.
Best game for us by a long way. What do I want to say about the Spurs game? It was utterly thrilling. Bonkers. Yeah, that'll do.
Spurs game? Simply marvellous. Back row of the North Stand. When Purvis swung back his left peg, we thought this is going row P, seat 175. And very quickly we realised it was like a dart right in the top corner. It was one of the top five goal celebrations ever at the Emirates. For Purvis, welcome back. Yeah.
Beautiful. So here we are a couple of hours before kickoff and 1 hour before the team's announced. And I haven't got a clue what our defence is going to be. A little bit further up the field, it's more obvious the kind of players that we're going to play. But even when the lineup's announced, in an hour's time, I don't think anyone will really be able to guess the system and the formation.
Well, I think if he plays Purvis at centre-back, maybe a bit unlikely, but if he did, then we've got a chance of breaking an all-time Premier League record, and that is having full-backs who between them are 70 years old in Gross and Milner. 70 years, just dwell on that for a moment. I'm going to quickly rush and get my boots.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty certain that Van Hacke will play centre-back, but beyond that, it really isn't clear. Apparently Webster is fit enough to be on the bench and might play a bit of a role in the second half, so maybe him and Purvis might switch around at centre-back. The big question is who's going to play alongside Van Hacke at centre-back. And apparently Hinchwood might not start as well, according to Serb in the press conference. So, who knows?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, I totally agree with all that. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the hell happens with the lineup. It's anyone's guess, but here we go again with just all change city as usual. While we've been recording, we've been joined by Mo as well. Hello, Mo. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good to see you. Yeah. I'm good. That's Mo Seagull. Mo Seagull going down. And it's brilliant. It's good to see you. And here we go again. Another London away day. West Ham. I mean, I don't know what the head-to-head record is through history, but we played. This is going to be our 14th game in the current sequence in 13th. The top right.
Yeah, the 14th
today, yeah.
So they lost 12.
Yeah, we were their bogey team. And yeah, they've won last time. We now need to avoid defeat.
Last time they won, it was 2012. Were you there?
2012? 2012? Yeah.
6-1 something.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, Mo, to be honest with you. You are right, but yeah. Horrendous day that was. But yeah, I mean, if they win today, they do the double over us, which no one would have seen coming at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
However, who knows what will happen? I'm going in for a nice, healthy 2-2 draw today. Have you got any predictions for the game?
I would like us to win, actually.
Well, yeah, I'd like us to win. Yeah.
Finish sixth, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we go two places up to sixth if we win.
Yeah,
we're still in eighth because Newcastle lost to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And what else? United lost, didn't they? Last time out. So we're in a position, and obviously West Ham we're playing, so if we beat them, we go above them as well.
Yeah.
Sixth place would be good start to the year, wouldn't it?
It would be very, very good, yeah.
It would be quite nice.
But it will be a tough game.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what do you think about the lineup?
Oh, I don't know.
Who's playing centre back today?
It's honestly, it's anyone's guess what will happen. I've got no idea.
Who do you think will play centre back today?
Well, they're saying about how they'd like to have Estupiñán at centre-back, so they can have the oldest full-backs in history.
Or Milner.
Yeah, Milner.
Milner.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. What I do know is I'm really hoping Estupiñán is fit and able to continue his return. I love that, didn't you?
I mean, yeah, I think it's a bit risky to play him 90 minutes today.
Probably, yeah. Do you think he'll play the first 45? First 50, 55?
So who's going to play then? If he doesn't play.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, the comeback itself at half-time, scoring that goal, an amazing goal. One of the goals of the calendar year, just gone. And not only that, but that I'm back.
You guys were there, yeah? I wasn't there. I was in the sunny Swansea.
Yes, you missed that one, of course, yeah. But that was one of those defining moments of what's been an amazing year, isn't it? We just finished with 2023. Obviously, we've seen our team have a fantastic second half of the season, finish in a record high position, qualify for Europe, do well in Europe so far.
Did you buy a ticket for the 14th of March?
I did indeed. Yeah. I didn't forget, yeah, for the home game. And we've not only are we doing all that, we're still emulating last season in league positions, broadly speaking.
Yeah.
And we've had some memorable, hugely memorable moments, memorable goals.
But we only have 11 players, yeah?
Exactly, but we don't have any players. Will you stop mentioning that?
We have 11 players. Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it on a positive spin here. No, who knows what will happen? I mean, we'll have some more feedback, no doubt, during and after the game.
I mean, the good news is Kudus is not playing today.
Yes, is that right? He's definitely out. Okay, that is huge news. We tried to sign him.
Thanks, Chris Hughton.
Yes, yeah. He's not giving him the extra time. Yeah, which is Ghana manager, obviously. So that would be a big bonus because guy we tried to sign, he wanted to go to West Ham. Yeah. They've signed him. He's been a huge success. Massively important that we didn't have him playing today, so that's good.
He's got nine goals.
Yeah. I don't want to wish people to be out of the team, but we've got so many injuries, we could do with a bit of luck, couldn't we?
It's fair.
Absolutely. Anyway, so there we have it. Right, Mo, I will catch up with you a bit more later on.
Cheers.
Right, well, we haven't seen the teams yet, but let's go back to the Andes for some score predictions then. Starting with you, Mr. Andy Gresty, a.k.a. Wedge.
It's a very difficult one to work out. Suffice to say, it's a windy, wet night in London. Neither team is at full strength and having to patch together.
Yeah.
Likelihood of errors in the wind and team setup. Likelihood of errors is high, therefore likelihood of goals is high. Therefore, I'm going 2-2 draw or 2-3 either way.
I went for a 2-2 draw. I'm disappointed to hear you're wet and windy, though, Andy. I hope you get over that soon.
That's just me. I had a kebab at West Hampstead earlier. I'm hoping the wet and windy will dry.
So keeping those for now, yeah. Andy Knott, so what do you think?
He's just had the Buffalo chicken burger, so he's wet and windy as well.
I don't do score predictions because I always get them wrong, but put it this way, I'm not terribly optimistic about this game because of the depth of our injury crisis.
We should get the opposition view in a moment as we're going to pass the baton along the table. So I now turn to my left and I'm joined and chatting with John, who's a friend of David, friend of the show. John, you're a West Ham fan, happy hammer. Oh, you are a happy hammer at the moment, aren't you? Surely.
I'm quite happy.
Yeah, things are going fairly well, aren't they, for you? Winning a European trophy, flying high this season, doing better than last season in the league as well.
Yeah, the only thing I'm a little bit, more than disappointed with is I thought we could have gone for the Caribou Cup a little bit more than what we did. And I think we threw that, you know, it's because the great thing, West Ham are not in a position, we're not going to win the league. So going for the Caribou would have gave us a great night at the stadium, semi-final, because it's two legs.
Yeah.
And if you get to the final, it's the only final where you get an allocation of 40,000 tickets.
Yeah.
So we can go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Would have been a good one.
Yeah.
And another trophy, potentially. Yeah.
Absolutely. On the back of the last one that we've just won.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, upgraded to the Europa League as a result this season. Qualified. How are you feeling about that? Obviously, it's going to be tough. Liverpool are tricky to start with. There's other team from the south coast of England who look quite tasty. But, I mean, overall, is there anything to fear in this tournament? Could you win it?
I think if we get to the semi,
yeah,
I'll be happy with that.
Because then you've got that big match experience now, haven't you? Those types of games.
Well, yeah. I think that we're getting spunked now. It's three seasons in Europe.
I've never got past the semi myself.
So not anything's possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
So Andy's just been telling us he's never experienced a semi before, but we could well believe that, of course. But you have, and you might do again. You might in more ways than one if you do well. So in terms of this game, Kudus, we think, is out, isn't he? Because he hasn't been given permission by...
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Former Brighton manager, Chris Hewson.
Yeah.
Who's now the
Ghana
manager. Yeah. Interesting little move there. Good work, Agent Chris.
You have to play Alan Devonshire instead.
Yes.
They've just recalled him from East Borough.
Or Frank Lampard Senior. Why not?
Or Trevor. Trevor Brooking.
He could have a dive in header, couldn't he, last minute? But no, joking aside, without him, is that how seriously might that hamper your chances in this game? Because obviously we've had a hex over you for years until this season when you did the dirty on us, a 3-1 win at the Amex earlier in the season. But are you going to do the double? I mean, will it be too big a miss? You've got some good players, aren't you? Bowen, Antonio.
But I think Kudus being out, he's been a really kind of big player for us since he's come to the club. Paqueta's out as well.
Oh, he is out, is he?
And that's been like
smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors, is it, Andy? Yeah. Yeah.
But those three have been brilliant recently, you know, Bowen, Paqueta and Kudus.
Yeah.
So I think they're being replaced by Benrahma and Fornells.
Yeah.
So it's not so good.
Benrahma's joining the Algerian team.
Yeah.
Is he not available either? Oh, he's winding you up.
No,
right? He's winding you up.
He's not. He wasn't selected. He wasn't selected.
And all of this is without, of course, Declan Rice last season. He was excellent for you last year and has proved his worth with Arsenal this year. But you've had to do all that we've just talked about without him in the team as well. Pretty impressive stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that with the money we got from him, we spent it really well. We brought in Kudus, Ward-Prowse, Alvarez, who's been brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and Emerson is one of the fullbacks, is brilliant as well. Really, really good. But tonight, those two players that are missing have been so important recently.
Good.
So I'll be happy with the status quo to stay sixth I'll be happy with a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I predicted a 2-1 draw.
But I don't know what sort of side you got, because you got lots of...
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we've got 10 players out injured and Lewis Dunk suspended. Well, Buonanotte might be doubtful, but...
No, he is playing.
Oh, he is playing. Okay, so 9 players injured and Dunk suspended. But who knows what we'll do, how we'll set up. When we've been up against it, we've come out trumps. I mean, the Spurs game, we could have been 5-6, 7-0 up at half time in that match, so, and that's with the same level of injuries.
And so this kind of run with a similar side, to play tonight.
I would have thought so. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, having said, when I saw our team sheet for Arsenal, with the two centre halves of Bonner and Manapranas. My heart sank, but they were brilliant.
And he won 2-0 at Arsenal.
Yeah, and they were. Ogbonna was out of this world.
Yeah,
and so because I don't think Zuma's going to be fit for tonight.
No,
Aguerd is not going to be. But I think he's actually going to be going to Lyon.
Yeah,
that's the rumor. He's getting sold, but he's not going to be. I think he's part of he's going away as well with Morocco.
When is that going?
Again.
When is he going?
He's probably going to Lyon.
Really?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. Yeah.
That's what Morocco national team.
Oh yes, the Moroccan interest. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the Euros.
On the Euros still. Yeah. Well, let's see what happens. Speaking of call-ups, I see that Kaoru Mitoma has been called up to the Asian Cup despite being injured at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to think about that. I mean,
they make it to the final.
Yeah, well, it's pretty bloody annoying. I'd like him to have the whole of the tournament out, to be honest with you. You know, he's worn us. He's been worn out, and we've had to overstretch him due to other deficiencies in the squad due to injury. So that's a bit irritating, isn't it? Any thoughts on that, Andy?
Mitoma?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's been absolutely knackered for quite a while. Dangerous player. Difficult to know whether he's been found out by opposition defenders or he's just crocked, basically.
I think he's just crocked a bit jaded. And also he suffers from not having Estupiñán alongside him, who ironically is now back. When he's now injured, but I'd be annoying if he goes to the Asian Cup. Given, even if he's fit, he'll only have just come back from another injury and still be jaded. Yeah, it's a worry. It's a worry, but we'll see. Yeah,
yeah, but that's you know, that's the fine between, you know, being an international player and a club player, isn't it?
Yeah,
and. Most international players will go and play for their international team if they can.
And there are all these tournaments during the season. Nothing's going to change with that. We just have to know that when we sign the players and accept the consequences, I guess, if they're called up. Yeah, there we go. Back to the other Andy, Mr. Gresty. One final thing from you, sir. You like to keep a tally of the managerial merry-go-round. Now, Matthew Etherington's just been sacked by Colchester and Wayne Rooney has been sacked by Birmingham after steering them from sixth place promising position to relegation trouble in a mere 15 games over 13 weeks, which is quite impressive stuff. Seeing as the manager they had was perfectly good already. However, neither of those two managers have been in place since we had De Zerbi, but a number of people who were in place before De Zerbi have gone, and De Zerbi in, what is it, 15, 16 months, something like that.
Yeah.
He's now number 29 out of 92?
He's 28.
28 out of 92 longest serving managers in the 92.
52 games, he's climbed 63 places, which is weird, isn't it?
It's absolutely mental, huh?
I mean, if we could, I think we should all stand and applaud Wayne Rooney for the job he did at Derby County, DC United in Washington and Birmingham. I mean, it's just proof that ex-players know fuck all about top-level coaching. And well done, Wayne. You can join the Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard club of totally fucked-up, failed coaches. stick to punditry.
Well, John, I mean, certain fans are still not that happy, but Moyes, maybe you should get rid of Moyes and get Wayne while he's available. What do you think? But no, joking aside, is that true that some West Ham fans are still a bit disgruntled? Yeah. That can't be true, surely.
No, there's a certain part of the fan base that are a little bit kind of disgruntled with the style of play.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got this thing, the West Ham way. You know,
the West Ham way, yeah.
If you look at the stats, well, we've never been so consistent. You know, we finished 6th, 7th, won a trophy.
Yeah.
We've been in Europe for 3 years running. So I think that I'm all for giving him another contract, because I don't see what the options are. Because we got this guy, Tim Steidle, who's like a director of football, that was responsible for bringing in Kudos. And he worked quite he appointed Alonso at Leverkusen.
Yeah.
And there was rumours that we might get him. Well, that's a different matter. But I think you can't argue with what David Moyes has done in the last few years. You know,
he's deserved to carry on and get a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's talk of a 2.5-year contract. He hasn't signed that yet, has he?
Yeah, but I think that two and a half year contract comes with clauses.
Ah, right.
I can't remember the acronym, but it's like you've got to hit certain targets.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the club can terminate the contract without having to pay compensation.
That's not a very enticing clause, is it, really?
But I think that he's not going to get a better club than West Ham. He wouldn't get a bigger club.
Because if you're going above West Ham in their current status and their general size, you're talking about the biggest jobs, really, you know, and then those biggest jobs are all occupied by high quality coaches who aren't going anywhere in a hurry anyway.
And it's if he believes in his own abilities that he can hit certain targets, and
yeah, then maybe it's
then
all right.
There's probably the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
you know, then you haven't got a sort of another 2.5 years that you might get to the end of this season. We don't know what's going to happen at the end of this season.
Yeah,
you know.
Who knows?
So I think that would probably be the best solution to have a contract kind of like that. I can't remember what the acronyms is. It's key performance
indicators.
Yeah,
who knows? Who knows? But anyway, no Wayne Rooney then.
We'll have your manager.
Oh, God, you certainly will not. That's the biggest fear. If he leaves, then what happens? Hopefully, we won't have to worry about that for a while, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
In the meantime, on with the show. Let's see what happens today, then, John.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All the best. Cheers. Good chatting to you. Cheers. Half time, 0-0. Jordy, what do you make of that?
I don't know. I think we're a bit lost for words, aren't we? It's
underwhelming.
Drab would be my one word to describe
drab's
that first
not a
half.
Bad word. Short and sweet.
Run by the keepers. Good saves at both ends.
Yeah.
Really not a lot else to talk about.
Not really.
It's just been a bit lackluster and it needs a bit of life throwing into it.
Yeah. We've been playing with Milner's playing on the left side.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, we didn't give the lineup actually. Webster is in today,
Webster
which
is
a surprise. So Webster and Van Hecker with Estupiñán still in.
Yeah.
And
Hinterwood
on the right side. And then midfield, we've got Gilmore. We've got Milner on the left. We've got
Gross in the middle.
Gross in the middle. And Buonanotte as well.
And then Welbeck and Pedro up front.
Welbeck as well, And it feels like we could get out of them more than we are. It does also feel as if West Ham could offer more of a threat than they have.
Yeah, they've just been a bit defensive the majority of the game, and they seem like they're lacking Paqueta and Kudus.
Yeah.
Going forward, we look like we're lacking Adingra, Mitoma. Going forward, it's a very middle-heavy game and not really much on the wings. For them, it's just Bowen that's left.
Yep, they're sitting about happy to wait. Obviously, we know they're good with set pieces and with counter-attacks, and they're looking to try and exploit this game of counters.
Yeah.
Not worked for them so far. No. There's one or two set pieces which made us nervous. As you said earlier, Ward-Prowse always scores against us, and he is quite good at set pieces as well, so that's a bit nerve-wracking. We'll see what happens in the second half of that, but yeah, I mean, some changes needed, I think, in the game.
Yeah, just I think we don't need to change much. We'll get our chances again, but it's we don't have a lot to put on, really, so it's a case of hope for the best and don't give them any easy chances.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Wes, what's your thoughts on the game?
Well, it's one of those games where you realise you can't win a game in the first half, but you sure as hell can lose it.
Yes.
And so neither manager has taken a single risk in that first half, and we are where we are. But I think in five-minute segments in the second half, both managers desperately want to win this game. So risks will be taken and changes will be made.
Yeah.
So we're basically looking at a 40-minute football match.
Yeah.
And it's all been very organised and controlled. But, you know, let's hope the Albion pop a couple down in front of us in our end, you know.
I mean, does the draw benefit one team over the other? Not really. I mean, West Ham would retain sixth place, but they could have considered it as 2 points dropped. Whereas if we beat them, we go above them and Man United and into sixth. So, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure
a holding score, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure they want the win.
They must do, surely.
And I don't think I've ever seen De Zerbi play for a draw. So, if we had either of our wingers out there in the first half, we could have played the ball over the top, which would have given them a different problem to think about. But obviously we can't with Milner and Hinshelwood out there.
And they know that.
They know that and they've organised accordingly. But something will change in the personnel or the method.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a 40-minute football match.
And the bench is all right, isn't it? We've got Lallana, we've got Ferguson, we've got a few players like that that could be creative differences.
Yeah, he could bring Baliba on and do that sweeper thing.
Yeah.
Which might free a body to drive with the ball a bit more through the middle.
Yeah.
But we do need somebody who's going to threaten right up against the final shoulder. And at the moment, we haven't really had the personnel or the opportunity to do that.
The only person that looks like he might be about to do something is Joao. Hasn't quite been able to carve it out, has he?
He's covered a lot of ground, but a lot of the time he's been playing actually deeper than Buonanotte.
And because they've been playing deep, they've been marking him quite well too.
Buonanotte's run well with the ball. He's obviously a lot physically stronger than he was.
Yeah,
I can see some changes coming 10 minutes, 15 minutes in. And then I think it's going to be pretty frantic. Bring it on, yeah?
Yep, and goals at both ends as normal, probably, yeah. Right, on to the second half then. And so that was the end of the action for the day. There wasn't much more to talk about. Bit of travel hassle on the way back due to the adverse weather conditions, knocking out some train lines. So we didn't really get much content on the way back. And I'm just summing it up here and now, really. So in the end, yes, a 0-0 draw. Yes, you heard us correctly, folks. A 0-0 draw for the Albion. The first one for Roberto De Zerbi in his whole reign. Incredible as that may seem, it is true. And I got the outcome right, if not the score this time. At least I did predict the draw, which is a bit disappointing, given that we were much improved in the second half. We were the only team that looked like they wanted to win it. At the risk of doing a Van Dijk and incurring the wrath of Roy Keane, we did look like the only team that wanted to win it in the second half. We were much improved. We made substitutions that worked when Anote came into his own. Jack Hinshelwood had another fantastic performance. And again, he had changed into another position. He was forced to drop back and play a centre-back role late in the game as Webster, who had started, finally came off. Incredible, such a flexible player, such a great player. And before he went to that centre-back role, he was involved quite a bit down the right wing, linking up the play with Billy Gilmore and with Pascal Grosch in particular for some effective work. Unfortunately, the issue in this match was, as has been in a number of games, finishing to some degree and final ball to some other degrees. João Pedro was causing some real threats on the left side. And he set up a lot of the build-up play there down that side. James Milner on the overlap as well, doing the same, cutting inside, putting balls into the box. But we couldn't quite break through. We did have some chances. Notably, in the first half that we didn't mention, there was actually a double save, which we hadn't realised. It was the first one was a cross into the box, really, that the goalkeeper padded out. But it fell to
to Jack Hinchelwood, who managed to get a touch, get a turn, not much room, a bit on the angle. Goalkeeper saved it. You would expect him to do so, but it was still a good save anyway. That was one matter from the first half that we haven't mentioned. Also in the first half, Jared Bowen was through on goal, angled to the right as he was attacking the Albion goal, behind which our fans were. It was offside anyway, and we could see it was going to be offside. It hit the post. What we didn't realise was that Jason Steele actually made the save, so really well done to him on that. Even though it didn't matter, it was still a good save there. But in terms of the second half, yeah, we had chances. Adam Lallana, who came on, managed to get a directed header towards the far post, couldn't quite score with that. Jakub Modder got on the end of a chance. He was pretty much one-on-one with the goalkeeper in terms of he had a chance to hit it first time, but he was on the stretch, and it was always actually a bit more of a difficult chance than it looked. But the best one of the lot, really, for me, was João Pedro himself, breaking in from the left-hand side. He cut past two or three players, getting ever more central, and worked his way into a position where he could have actually just passed it into either corner of the net. Instead, he got a reasonable amount of power on his shots, but it was way too central and was saved by Areola. And it was unfortunately our best chance, I think, really, in that particular occasion. Pascal Grosch almost reached across at one point as well. But in the end, I think we didn't quite do enough to earn that victory, even though we were by far the better side in a much improved second half. So it finished 0-0. It meant that West Ham keep their sixth position. We were unable to take sixth position from them, but we did overtake Manchester United due to the point we gained there at the rather quiet, in fact, incredibly quiet, flat-atmosphered Taxpayer Stadium, also known as the London Stadium. So a disappointing atmosphere. The Albion did their best to make a bit of noise, but in the end, you know, it's a lot of that is lost, isn't it, really, in the way the acoustics are set out. But West Ham's fans were terribly quiet and terrible, really, in general. The light show was a bit cheesy as well before the match. But anyway, the least said about that, the better. But the travel chaos did make things a little bit of a hassle and a schlep getting home afterwards. However, we go away with a good point. We have got our first goalless draw under De Zerbi. We've again avoided defeat. We are on a very rare that we lose games nowadays under De Zerbs. And yeah, that was again the case in this match. And of course, what it does mean, the result last night, is that in the first instance of doing the double or having the double done over us this season, the first up was West Ham having the possibility to do that to us. They have failed to do so. We got a very creditable draw, although we should have won, I think. But either way round, we didn't lose. West Ham didn't do the double over us. We've still got the hex, by and large, over West Ham. Just one win for them from the 14 fixtures we've had in the Premier League since we've been up. I'm not sure if they've beaten us in any other games in the top flight in the previous four-year stint, 79 to 83, who knows. But they certainly didn't do the double over us, and that was great, and we are delighted with that. One final line from the match at the London Stadium, the Taxpayers Stadium, was that I bumped into a guy called Mick, who's a regular listener to the podcast. He listens while walking his dog. We chatted on the way into the ground. He recognised my voice, said, "Oh, are you the guy doing the podcast?" Had a quick chat. Lovely guy. Thank you for having a chat, Mick, and thank you for listening. We hope you keep doing so, and no doubt you're doing that right now while you're walking your dog on this occasion. But yes, it was really good to meet you two, albeit briefly, and thanks to everyone, of course, for listening. And if anybody out there is listening and hasn't reviewed us yet, please do so if you can. Give us a 5-star rating on Spotify, which you can do. It's a bit hard to see on there, but if you look around, you can see there is a way to rate on Spotify, and also, of course, on Apple and other device and other platforms as well. But yes, thanks to Mick, and keep up the listening. Fantastic. And so we turn our attentions to Stoke at the weekend. It's going to be a big one. Yeah, we're doing well in Europe, and it's great to have that cup run, and we really want that first major trophy. And if it is the Europa League, that will be fantastic. But why not try and go on an FA Cup run, at least for now? The fixtures do thin out a little bit, at least, making it justifiable for us to try and do our best in this competition as well. We may gradually get players back from injury in the coming weeks. We may sign a couple of new players as well. Let's hope so. And I'm still hoping for Valerin Barco to join us. That would be nice. But anyway, we've got Stoke away. We have sold out our slightly extended allocation from the initial allocation. We've got 4,000 fans going up to the stadium. The Bet365 for the game on Saturday. 4,000 fans cheering on the Albion. Hopefully we're going to win. I predict we are going to win the game. As you all know, I always get the score wrong, but what the hell, I might as well try yet again in vain. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win, because inevitably we won't be able to keep two clean sheets in a row, will we? So I'm going to say 3-1 to us. I think it's going to be a good day out for everybody. 15 loyalty points available, which is one of the tempters for why so many people have travelled, I'm sure. Reasonable price, and in my case also the offer of a lift kindly given by a Wedge, my old mate, from Milton Keynes onwards at least. So those are the reasons I'm going up. I think it should be a good day out, and my old mate John is joining us for a rare away day as well, which will be nice. So anyone that is going, safe trip up. We won't do a match day special, but we'll probably have a review episode in the days thereafter. So listen out for that. That will be our next episode. Again, thanks to everyone for listening. Again, Happy New Year to all our listeners. And until the next time, stand or fall, up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.